Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching and preaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. In this Friday's message, healing evangelist Bishop Dag Heward Mills will help you to better understand the healing ministry. You will also find out from today's message why ministering to the sick is more important than ever. Healing and doing good was an essential part of Jesus' ministry, and God's miraculous power is still being demonstrated and restoring people today. I believe your confidence and faith in God's ability to heal shall be increased after today's blessed word.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for bringing us into your presence, Lord. We ask you to direct us and lead us in your holy word. Let us not leave this place the same. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. I want you to turn with me to the book of John chapter 5. All right. And we want to just pick up from where we left off last week. We are studying the healing ministry. And In James chapter 5, we are actually studying the book of James, so as we go step by step, we come to new things. And then we go to James chapter 5, verse 14. It says, is any sick among you? Verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right. Now, what we are saying here is the Bible tells us what to do in every circumstance. Amen. And the Bible is saying is any sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil, pray over him, and the prayer of faith shall. Everybody say shall. Shall heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, because of a misunderstanding of the healing that comes from God, people have wrong ideas or different ideas about what God is trying to do. And one of the common things that you see in a church or in the healing ministry or with evangelists and people who pray for the sick is that some people are healed and some others are not healed. And you'd also discover that many people seem to be touched and many others don't seem to be touched at all. And so because of that, people have lost confidence in the healing ministry and thinking that if really God was up to the work of healing, he would just heal everybody and it would be as simple as that. But we are discovering that that is not the case. And so we began to look at what I call reasons which are not reasons for which God heals the sick. Amen. Do you remember that? How many can remember that? Give me a wave. All right. So we are looking at reasons. We are trying to get understanding. The Bible says, get understanding with all your getting. Get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. So we are trying to have an understanding of what God is trying to do. I myself battled with the idea of a God's healing for a long time, because I had these questions in my mind. I said to myself, if God really wanted to heal us, he would just heal everybody. But I don't see everybody being healed. I myself have prayed for people who didn't get well after I prayed for them. I prayed for myself at times when I didn't seem to get healed. So you ask yourself, what is happening? And because of that, people have lost confidence in the healing ministry. Now, rarely do you have Christians today, when they are not well, calling for the pastors or calling for the elders, say, I'm not well. I want the pastor so-and-so, reverend so-and-so, for them to come to the house and pour oil on me and pray for me. It's not very common, because people have lost confidence in the healing ministry because of a lack of understanding. All right? And then some others have taken it to the extreme and said that God is trying to do certain things which he is not. So last week we saw the very first reason, and we want to just pick up right from there, that number one, God is not trying to eradicate sickness from the world. Is that not so? In other words, a reason for healing is not that God is trying to remove sickness from this world. If he was trying to move sickness from this world, God would have failed. Because when Jesus was here, I pointed out to you that he passed by the temple, the beautiful gate in the temple. There was a man who had been lame for many years, and he was lying there. Jesus saw this man many times, must have seen him many times, because Jesus preached at that temple many times, and never healed him. But Peter and John were going to the temple to pray, and they saw the man, and they prayed for the man, and the man got healed. Another time, Jesus in John chapter 5 went to a hospital, just like we have today, a hospital just a few meters away. And there were many, many sick people there. And the Bible said there was a multitude of critically ill people. And like I was saying, there are places where you see a concentration of sick people. And sometimes you see a concentration of certain strange diseases. You only see these things in hospitals or centers where people can get some kind of relief. And this happens in a hospital. And in this case, there was a pool, and all the sick people were coming there. They didn't have hospitals like we had. And there was some kind of an angel who was doing something that was leading to miracles taking place. And Jesus went along and healed only one man who was there. That man had been in that condition for 38 years. And the Bible said Jesus left everybody else who was sick untouched and just moved out of the place quickly. And they couldn't even find him afterwards. And we ask ourselves, were Jesus to come into Kolebu Hospital now, would he heal everybody? If it was left to just me, with my mind and my understanding, I would just heal everybody and discharge everybody. You understand? But what we are trying for you to understand is that that does not seem to be the plan of God. Because if it is the plan of God, then he's not succeeding. And there is nothing that God cannot do. Are you listening to me today? So if God wanted to heal everybody and drive everybody out of the hospital, he would do it. One touch. Because he made you and he made me. He's the creator, Elohim. Are you listening to me today? All right. So God is not trying to heal everybody. And these are some of the problems that people have with people who work miracles and people who claim that miracles take place and healings take place. And we have had so many miracles. We've had miracles which we as doctors can testify to the fact that this is a miracle. We have so many doctors in this church. Many pastors are actually doctors and are pastors as well. And we have seen miracles upon miracles. We have a whole list and a whole stream of many, many miracles we've seen. But not everybody has been healed. And you ask me why? Jesus gave the answer in John chapter 5, I believe verse 19. He said, I cannot do anything of myself, but what I see the Father do. So what the Father is doing is what the servant of the Father can do. If the Father is not healing, then you are not going to be healed. And nobody, and Jesus knew that. And that's why he didn't even pray for anybody there. And I was also pointing out the fact that even when Jesus was on this earth, it was not everything he could do. In Mark chapter 6, we see where Bible says Jesus could not heal certain people. He couldn't. And the fact that he says he couldn't, maybe he tried. Yeah, because when you say you can't, it means you try to do something and you are not able. So the Bible says Jesus could not. He could not. He could not. He could not. And maybe he made the attempt. That how else would he know that he couldn't? He didn't say he did not. He said he could not. So Jesus gives us the answer. He says that whatever I see my Father do, that is what I do. And in Deuteronomy 29:29, the Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord. It's obviously not everything we know. We used to sing that song almost to everything that happens by and by. We'll understand it better by and by. It is true to some extent that we do not know everything. Neither do we understand everything that God is doing. But we have to get knowledge. We have to learn more. And as we walk with the Lord more and more, we begin to see more and more and understand more and more about the Lord. All right. So now let's go on today to number two, reason number two, which is not a reason why God is trying to heal. Number two, God is not trying to replace the need for medicine or hospitals. Hallelujah. All right. Jesus is not trying to replace the need for hospitals or for medicine or for doctors. Jesus Christ didn't. Amen. Paul moved around with a doctor. Luke, was he not a physician? Yes. Amen. And you will realize that at times Paul would write to Timothy and tell him, do this and do that for your health's sake. Amen. Jesus did not close down Bethesda Hospital. Amen. He did not say it's not necessary. He did what he was trying to do. Praise the Lord. All right. So I want you to understand, because you see, when charismatics make certain mistakes, we give the wrong impression. For instance, there was a time when many people were being healed. There was a healing revival sometime, once upon a time, in the 40s. And so on. And then after that, there was a faith revival and so on. And there were many people who said at that time that if you believe God, you must not touch medicine. Now, many people began to die through that message and did actually die. I know of one church where 42 people died, including the pastor, because they refused to take any kind of medication. One after the other, they died. They said, we believe God, and because we believe God, we believe that we are healed, and if we are healed, we do not need medicine. And so there were sometimes little children who needed insulin, diabetics, and the child would be crying, I need my injection, I'm not well, and so on. And the parents would say, you are healed, you do not need insulin. And so the child would go on and get into a coma and die. By faith. And many people died like that, until in this particular church I'm talking about 42 different people died, until the pastor also developed some kind of condition and he had the gangrene and they had to operate on him. He refused it, and until he was in a wheelchair, he was being brought to church in a wheelchair and he was preaching, refused to get medication until he died. And I want to say that these type of things do not help our cause. Because then people begin to look at the healing ministry as something that is killing people now. Because there is genuine, real healing. But I want to point out to you that there are, in Jesus' time, he left people sick and did not pray for them, could not pray for them at times, and did not heal them at times. It's as simple as that. And you ask me why? There are things I don't know and I can't give you any explanation. The Bible said the secret things belong to the Lord. But those that are revealed, they belong to us. The Bible said we look through a glass dimly, darkly. That means when you look through a glass dimly, you can't see things so clearly. So it's not everything we know, and we shouldn't pretend to know everything, because we do not know everything. Can I have an amen? But that doesn't mean that God does not heal. He does heal. And if you believe God and you preach faith, you will actually see people being healed. You will actually see miracles. You will actually see the power of God in manifestation. And so we have to understand the balance and how the two can work together and the two can coexist side by side. Amen. So, the Bible said, Paul wrote, he said, so and so have I left at wherever sick. I left one of the pastors that was so sick. If Paul could heal everybody, why didn't he heal everybody? No. Hallelujah. Alright. The next one. Jesus is not, another reason, God is not trying to replace the need for common sense. Common sense. In Mark chapter 6, well, let's look at Genesis chapter 3. As soon as the Adam and Eve fell into sin, what happened? God said to them in Genesis chapter 3, and I'm going to read it for you. He said, "And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them." Hallelujah. Now, Adam and Eve were naked. They didn't have clothes on. And when they were naked and they had fallen, the Bible says that the Lord now decided to help them. Do you know that if you don't wear clothes, you can get sick? Huh? What are the diseases you can get? Pneumonia and what else? A cold. And your skin. You can get rashes. Helminthiasis, thank you. And what else? You can get all sorts of diseases. You see, so God began to show them how to look after themselves. Amen. And God gave them wisdom and showed them how to use skin to make clothes for themselves. That was the first thing that he did when he realized that man had fallen to the mercy of the elements. And man was now going to be subject to diseases, to sicknesses, to all sorts of things which were not there before the fall. Now God suddenly showed them and helped them. And he has been helping us ever since. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, "Unto the Jews and to the Greeks, Christ Jesus, the power of God and the wisdom of God." The fact Jesus Christ has come into your life, he is the power and the wisdom of God. Not just power. I said not just power. So when you become a Christian, he's helping you by being the power and the wisdom of God. So Christians become unbalanced when they just take the power and they leave the wisdom. So you need the power and the wisdom if you want to make it in this life. And God has been giving wisdom. Today we can operate on Pastor Eddie, take his hat out, put it in Pastor Big Daddy, take Pastor Big Daddy's hat out, put it in Pastor Eddie, and both of them will be back in church in 2 weeks. Yeah. And they just move. These people would probably be dead if it wasn't for chloroquine. They would have died, probably. Cerebral malaria, convulsions, febrile convulsions, and whatnot. They would have died long ago. Yeah. So, immunization. Many of us maybe have paralytics by now. If we were not immunized. So, God gives us wisdom. He has given us wisdom to think and to have common sense. One time, Jesus told his disciples, "Come ye yourselves aside and rest a while." Rest. Come and rest. Why did Jesus tell the disciples to rest? Let's look at that scripture. Mark chapter 6. I want you to see it so you believe me. There are many diseases that come from not resting. My wife is always telling me to rest, but I don't know how to rest. Verse 31. "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while." Rest a while. Rest a while. That's common sense. That's common sense. The fact that he was ministering miracles didn't mean that, "Look, you just get sick and I'll do a miracle. You just get tired and I'll do a miracle." Amen. So God gives us power and wisdom. And we must understand that Jesus Christ is coming to do miracles. He says, "Is any sick, call for the elders. The elders can pray, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick." Now somebody say, "But you see, Pastor, when these evangelists and other things come around and they are praying and they are preaching, they don't normally say all these things that you are saying." Yes, because if you preach what I'm preaching, when you want to heal the sick, nobody will be healed. Yeah, nobody will be healed with this type of message. Unless you change it at the end. I'm preaching this way for you to have understanding. This is not a miracle service. I'm not preaching, I'm not going to pray for you to be healed after this. I'm preaching for you to have understanding so that you can know what God is doing and what God is trying to do in our lives. If you preach
You may not get healed.
Nobody will get healed. One day, years ago, when we didn't have a roof, I announced, we are going to have an all-night on Friday. If it doesn't rain, come. Nobody came. Because everybody thought it was going to rain. They look at the sky and they thought. After that, I said, oh, because we didn't have a roof. So if it rained, it means we are going to be wet. So after that, I said, no, let me just give a clear decision. No, we are having an all night, rain or shine. And everybody came. So when you give a clear message, you will be healed. God is going to touch you. Many more people are blessed and many more people receive their healing. So when you go, that is why when people are preaching, they have to preach faith. You can't preach doubt. You, at a point, you can't even preach understanding. But at times, you don't have to understand. You have to just believe. As many as received him, to them he gave power. These are as many as understood him. As many as received and believed, he gave them power to become the sons of God. Amen. But I'm just teaching you this so that you are balanced and you know what God is trying to do and you don't have a wrong impression. Think God is not trying to empty Kolebu. If he was, he would empty it tomorrow. You see, there's no patient. All the doctors can go on strike conveniently. There'll be no problem. Amen. So understand, God is not trying to minister. He's not trying to take away common sense. He's not trying to take away medicine. He's not trying to take away, just heal everybody. No. He's trying to get you born again and trying to get you saved. The next reason, which is not a reason, God is not trying to make everybody believe. Amen. All right? And God is not trying to make everybody believe. Somebody, it is true that he does healing so that people would believe. But on the other hand, there are people who believe the word of God without seeing anything. And in John chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus said to Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. There are many people who don't see anything but they believe. Yeah. There are some people who have to see something. Is that not so? They have to see a sign. There are some people whose businesses have to collapse. There are some people watching by TV this morning or tonight. Something terrible has to happen to you before you believe. Sitting at home. Maybe there are people who have to be on their deathbed, the last breath, before they realize they are at the gates of heaven or hell. Before they will believe. Don't be that type of person. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet they believe. There are some people who have to be brought to their knees and have to be humbled and disgraced. There are people who got saved in prison when they were arrested and they were sent to prison. Then they repented and gave their life to Christ. You don't have to wait for that. Blessed are those who have not seen any of these things, but yet they believe. There are people who need to see God moving powerfully, miracles and so on, before they believe. But blessed are those, amen, who have not seen and yet they are believing in the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The next point I want to make is that only some people believe with the word, with miracles. So, it is true that it would be nice if there were many more miracles. But the fact is that miracles are going to only add a few more people. Amen. Because if you read John 11, verse 45, and I would like to be reading all these scriptures because I believe they are very important. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. So many people who saw, for instance, Lazarus raised from the dead, when Jesus was around, many believed, but many too did not believe. Amen. And the next point is that some people do not believe no matter what they see. They can see the dead rising before their eyes, they will still not believe. Amen. Hallelujah. And the next thing you must know is that some people will even hate you because of what they see. But when they see the truth right before their eyes, they will dislike you even more. There are some people who dislike me because I preach. There are some people who hate me because I preach the truth. Yes. And there are some people who hate you because they know you are telling them the truth. You know, often people don't like it when people tell them the truth. They want you to go around it in a way. Hallelujah. So, some people will hate you. Let's look at John chapter 9, after Jesus opened the eyes of a blind man, in verse 15. Everybody, please, quickly, turn your Bible. The book of John, chapter 9, verse 15. Then the Pharisees also asked him how he had received the sight, the man who had been made whole. And he said unto them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I do see it. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Hallelujah. Are you reading with me? There was a division. And they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he opened thine eyes? He said he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked the parents. Now, they didn't believe the man who told them he was blind. They called the parents. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then does he see now? And his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Hallelujah. Amen. And these words spake his parents, because they fear the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age. Ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. That is Jesus. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. It's as simple as that. So you can see that even though Jesus was walking on the surface of this earth, there were people who were blind. The Bible says Jesus passed by a man. He saw a man had been blind from birth. There must have been many people who knew that man. He did a miracle. If God was trying to make everybody believe, then he failed. Because after this man was healed, look, the Bible said there was a division. A division. A division was created. A division was created because of a miracle. You would have thought that a clear, classic miracle which you cannot dispute. A man has been blind since he was born. He's lying there. Now he sees. That people would believe. But no. The Bible says it caused a division. And this is what I want to say, that no matter what God does, certain people will not believe. So he's not in a hurry to impress you. Because he knows that you cry when he even does whatever. Look, there are some people watching me. If you were to watch me, as you watch me preach, an angel appears on my right and you see clearly. And everybody sees it. There are many people who will still not believe. I know a man of God, he was preaching. Fire appeared over his head, a hat in a halo like this, on top of his head. And they took pictures. I've seen a picture. I can show you a picture. You see me after church, I'll show you. You see a halo, fire on his head. He used to preach a minister, and the fire appears on top of his head. Do you think everybody believed? Do you think everybody got saved? No. This is the point I'm trying to make. So miracle or no miracle, the work of God just goes on. And those who will believe, will believe. That is why the greatest evangelist of all time, Billy Graham, preached to more people, more crowds than anybody else. Not a single miracle. Not even one. Just preaching. Because the Bible teaches us that Christ, that God has determined that people should be saved by the foolishness of preaching. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want you to look at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, lamo dalem ronale, si breke dolo, sambra dalanes. Shege bere dele bere doste. Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching. Oh, not the foolishness of miracles, but by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Olivia, do you see that? It's determined. God has determined that people are saved by preaching, not by miracles. God has determined, Cynthia, preaching is what's going to save people. Reverend Zaki, keep on preaching. Just keep on preaching. Keep on preaching. Just evangelize. Stand and tell the truth. That is the method by which God has determined that people should be saved. So when God is doing, and we have miracle service, we see God doing miracles. And next time we'll go into some of those. We've seen countless miracles, power of God moving. But we know that God is not trying to take away our common sense. We know that He's not trying to take away medicine. We know that He's not trying to displace doctors. We know that He's not trying to make everybody believe, because not everybody will not believe. We know. Why does He heal? We'll answer that question next week. Amen. Why is He actually doing what He is doing? There is a reason for that. And I want to tell you today, dear friend, I believe that the Lord has a reason for healing and for doing what He wants to do. But we must understand, and we must decide not to make ourselves the people that would need some other method to be reached. Amen. Amen. Because when you have to be reached in another way, sometimes God has to destroy you many times over before He can speak to you. But decide today that preaching will affect you. I said, decide today that preaching will affect you. When you hear preaching, you will believe. If you look in Revelations, I want us to look there. In Revelations, you see some people, God tried to talk to them and talk to them and talk to them, and He sent some other method. Chapter 9. All right? And then, verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying, loose the four angels. All right? And verse 18. By these three, the third part of men were killed. One third of all human beings on earth will be killed by this judgment, and by fire and the smoke. For their power is in their mouth. Verse 19. Verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of their hands, of the works they were doing, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. After God bombarded them, are you seeing that, Pastor Eddie? And lashed them, burnt them, one third of all human beings were killed, still the people will not believe. It is like a little boy. Sometimes you tell the person, don't do that. At a point you start to beat them, they now become hardened. Even when you beat them, they will do it. You speak to them and say, stop it! They still do it. You go to, in secondary school, you see people beginning to smoke weed, beginning to go on drugs. You show them, stop this. This is how you will end. Still they do. They are suspended once, suspended twice, sacked from school. When they come out of school, they continue. They steal. They do bad things. They become armed robbers. And it's like you show them your life is getting destroyed. I was speaking to one young man. I said, you are spoiling your life. Can you not see? One brother, I told him, I said, you are my age. Look at your condition. It's time for you to see. Still they continue. They don't repent. They don't change. I will never forget one day I was in the psychiatry hospital, and I was there with my boss, and then a patient came in, a mother with her her young son, not so young, but it's her son. And she complained her son is going more on drugs and he's behaving wildly and so on. The doctor didn't say anything. He said, get up, let's go. I said, hey, what's happening? Then he took the boy and us, and he went around the different parts of the mental hospital to the cages. There are places which are like cages with animals, human beings like animals. And he took us around and we got to a place and you see human beings who come to the bars like animals. Like that. And you just, wild people. And he told the boy, you see, this is where you are coming. If you continue this is where you are coming. This is where you are coming. Then he took us to another place. Some of the people were up. Different places like animals. And he told the boy, he took him out. Do you see? Then when we got back to the consultant, he said, this is where you are coming. If you go back on your drugs or whatever, we are going to bring you to this place. Have you heard? Will you stop? He said, I'll stop. But I wonder if he stopped. I really wonder if he stopped. Ladies and gentlemen, God is just ministering. You see me here preaching, that's me. That's God speaking to you. Oh yeah. Watching by TV, that's God telling you something right there. Do you expect an angel to appear? Do you expect something to happen? No, it's not going to happen. God has chosen that he will preach to people and by the foolishness. It's so foolish to preach. That's why people think that for me to have left medical practice and preach, I must be a fool. Because it's like medicine is a noble profession. But God has chosen to confound the wisdom of the wise people of this world and has chosen that the foolishness of preaching, he'll just raise somebody up to talk to people and say, by this you must be saved. And if you don't receive it, you're going to go to hell. And today I want to say, because there are many people in church, you come to church, you hear preaching, it is like water that goes off a duck's back. It has no effect on you. There are times I do hospital visitation and I hear people telling me things. One man, he was dying on his bed, he told me, if God will give me a second chance. He I will never forget, you can ask Reverend Saki, when we were sad. He said, if God will give me another chance to get out from this bed. Young man, less than 40 years old, he was dying. He said, I don't want to. I would even serve the Lord. I would leave everything and just serve the Lord. Amen. But amen is late. I went to visit another person paralyzed on the wall. I said, wow. He began to think about so many repenting, the things that he had done wrong. Listen, I believe God does not want to speak to you by that method. Hear me and hear me well. Pastor, I'm suffering from HIV. Oh, don't come and say that. Why do you suffer from HIV? Hear the word now. Don't go and do around with people. Save you. Oh, yeah. There are people in church here who have HIV. Don't think that this brother looks very clean. Say, no. It's not by looking, ironing your shirt that HIV doesn't go when you iron your shirt. Just believe the preaching. Because God is trying to minister to you just by simple preaching. God has chosen by... So, miracles... It's true, there are times God will speak to somebody like Paul. Saul, on the way, fall down, a light will come, thunder, and he will just believe and serve the Lord. But not everybody has that. And you ask, why doesn't God also tell me in that method? You know, pastors, why doesn't God tell you to leave your job or leave whatever and come and say in that way? No, he doesn't speak that. That is unusual. If it happens, we don't know why it happened to you like that. But he's not going to speak that way. No, his normal way of speaking is by preaching and by pastors telling you and preaching the word of God. That is the way God speaks. If you won't hear that, you will not hear if an angel or somebody rises from the dead to come and speak to you. Same thing happened to the rich man when he was in hell. He said, Father Abraham, send somebody from Awudome Cemetery. Send somebody. I'm telling you, if somebody gets up tomorrow and says that he's been dead for 3 years and he rose up from Osu Cemetery and he's come to tell us that you must repent, that heaven and hell is real, most of Accra will not believe it. He will show you his death certificate. He will show you where he was buried. He will show you those who attended his wakekeeping. Yet, most of us in Accra will not believe it. This is it. I said, this is it. Hear, repent or perish. I want God to... No, God is speaking now. This is him speaking. This is it. I want God to do a wild miracle, then I will know that he's real. You may wait forever. Oh yeah. You may never see even one miracle all your life till you die. Oh yes. If that's what you are waiting for, to repent, I pity you. If that's what you are waiting for God to speak so that you change your ways, you are in the church but you are some way. There are too many charismatics who are some way. Your whole Christianity is perverted. The whole Christianity, you don't know what you are. It's just by name and by sticker. In the days we became Christian, we didn't use stickers for people to know that we were believers. They could see by our life. They could see even by the way we dressed. But today you need a sticker. You need to put a sticker over your see-through blouse for people to know that you are a believer. Because by the dress you wear and by the clothes and the way you behave at work, nobody has the faintest idea that Christ is in you. Are you waiting for something to strike you before you know that God has spoken to you? Are you waiting for something to strike you before you obey God? Are you waiting for something to happen before you say, yes, Lord, I will obey? There are people who think that they will always have a chance to repent. Not everybody has a chance to repent. Some people have a chance. I was speaking to somebody who got born again when he was around the age of 40. And then he was sending his children to some place where he knew very well that they could not be born again. And he said that, well, I got born again when I was about 40 years old, and I got saved when I was about 40 years old, so I know that my children, by all means, they will know the Lord. It's not everybody who has the opportunity at the age of 40 to know Christ. Some people will die by the age of 25. I've seen little babies in the hospital. I've seen little babies die. I've seen babies stuck like corned beef in the mortuary. Young people. The first postmortem I did, it was a girl, 16 years old. Only 16. Only 16 years old. She was lying there naked. And I was holding a knife. And she was dead. She died, I think, the day before. Not everybody has that chance like Paul. Hear God when he's speaking to you. I said, hear him when he's talking to you. He's talking to you. Don't wait for a sign. There's no sign. This is it. This is it. This is it. I said, this is it. Amen. There are too many Christians. Their life is like a crooked path. But God's eyes are everywhere. I'm telling you, God's eyes are everywhere. It's time to straighten out. Because you may not have a chance to repent like others do. Stand to your feet. Alright. And those of you watching my TV, those of you watching my television, I want to tell you, as you sit in your home this evening, watching this program, I want you to understand that God really loves you. John 3:16 says, God so loved you that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, that you should believe on him and not go to hell. Hell is real. Heaven is real. But I like John 3:17, which says that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life. God is not condemning you. God is saying, come to me now. Surrender your life. Receive me as your savior and be a born again Christian. If you are watching and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want a change in your life. You want to say, Bishop, pray with me. I want a change in my life. I want God to save me. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to be a Christian. I want to know Jesus as my savior so that on that day I will be among the number. As you watch me and as you listen, if you want to be born again, I want you to close your eyes in your room and I want you to pray. And I want us all to join in and pray. You want God to come into your life. You want him to change you. You want a change in your life. God is speaking to you through me this evening, say this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I realize that I am a sinner. Come into my life and change me. Touch me, Lord. I repent. I change my ways. And I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. And as we are all here as well, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here today, maybe as you hear the word of God, you know in your heart that God is speaking to you. As you stand here, you know you are not born again. You are not a born again Christian. You know if you were to die today or tomorrow, you don't know whether you go to heaven or hell. You want to say, Pastor, pray with me, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand. Stand wherever you are, but lift up your right hand high, and I'm going to pray with you. Lift it up high. God bless you. I see all your hands. Lift it up high, high. Pastor, pray with me today. I want to humble myself and give my life to God. Lift it up high. God bless you. Upstairs, I see all your hands on the side. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I see so many hands at the back, in the middle, everywhere. I see your hand. Pastor, pray with me today. Today is my day. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to humble myself. This is it. God is speaking to you through a preacher. God bless you. God bless you. All those who have lifted your hands, I want you to do one more thing. Take your Bible, your bag, whatever, and come to me in front here. Come from upstairs. All those who raise your hand upstairs, from the middle, take your bag, whatever you have, you came along with, and walk to the front right here. Pastor, pray with me. Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to God. I want to change today. Today is a day of change. Today is a day of salvation. Today is a day of salvation. God bless you. All right, every head bowed still, every eye closed. We're waiting for them from upstairs. Please come quickly. Come, come all the way to the front. Come to the front. God bless you. God bless you as you come. Now, if you are here today also and you realize that you are far away from God, you are backslidden, you want to say, Pastor, I want you to also pray with me because I realize that I've fallen away from God. And you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want you to come also to the front and join these people, and I'm going to pray with you as they are already coming, but I want you to also join them. You realize that you are far, God is speaking to you specially today. Also join them, join those who are already coming to the front, and your life will never be the same. Amen. Just join them quickly. Come, I'm going to pray one prayer for all of you, and your life will never be the same. Let's pray. Say, Lord Jesus, I realize that I am a sinner. Please forgive me for all my sins. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, please write my name. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I will serve you and follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.